Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interviews,
exclusive practice information,
and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else.
This is South Philly Sauce,
hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
Welcome back, South Philly Sauce and Odyssey Original, brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels, Ashlyn Sullivan, Al Morganti, recapping a couple great games for the Flyers as they are on a three-game point streak, two wins, and one overtime loss that we just saw the other night. But pretty impressive stuff from the Flyers as of now. It just goes to show the roller coaster of an NHL season. 2 weeks ago, we thought, oh, here we go. This is going to go downwards, and it's going to go downwards fast. And then they're right back in it with a couple of these wins, Alice. So buckle up. You never really know this stuff.
Yeah. Well, the best part to me, Ashlyn, was the games were good. I mean, really good.
Entertaining. Yeah.
There was a buzz to the games. There was an excitement to the games. There was some physicality to the games. So, I mean, it's still, from my mind, a really long shot to make the playoffs. It's like beyond comprehensible to me that you could do it with what's, you know, the top of the divisions. But the way they're playing, this season was all about how you're going to play. Maybe you can stay in until the end, like happened last year. But, man, the energy that the building had, I think you saw what they're building toward. And anytime you add a physical, emotional element and your mm-hmm. team responds to it, that's a really good sign. So in the game against Anaheim, obviously, the Cutter Gauthier game, that place was all cranked up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Stanley Cup champs come in and you play terrible for a period, but then come back and really have a great comeback. And then even Columbus, which has been one of the best stories in the league this year after the horrible situation this summer. You had a lead there, and, you know, it took a world-class defenseman to beat you at the end, and you get some good goaltending. So all in all, I'll take this, what's happened over these last three games, as if you gave me three, you know, all these three games like this out of every five, I'm happy with it.
Agreed, because they were fun to watch. It was entertaining. They were in it till the end, and definitely a big difference from the Flyers we saw about a week and a half ago, where you were questioning their stamina, their legs. Were they going to make it to the Four Nations tournament? It just seemed like they were gassed, and they definitely have woken up. And the big story, especially from that Anaheim game, which really started this kickstart of a bit of a winning streak here, at least a point streak, was Jamie Drysdale and the Flyers and Cutter Gauthier situation. How they handled it in bowl one was awesome. It was the most fun game I at least have been a part of with my time with the Flyers here in two seasons. Hartsey was saying this is the closest it's felt to the playoffs in a really long time. I think it was important for the young guys to see that, what this building could be. And we asked the question, is Jamie actually better? Is he better than Cutter Gauthier? He was in that game, and I'll give him that. I just don't think we have seen enough of a sample size of Jamie to say that for a fact.
No, it was, I think I said it on the air. It was like if you're dating somebody and they throw you over, so to speak, and then you're gonna be mad for a while. Like, yeah, you were mad at Cutter for a while, and then, well, let's see, we replace him with Jamie. Let's hope we upgraded, right? and that's what you got to hope here. It's a little early to judge him. It's funny because when you look at Drysdale play, I mean, he's quote defenseman, and he's got great offensive potential. has to move with the puck. And even Torts basically says, I'm not looking at him in terms of, you know, you got to be adequate defensively, but a rover or whatever he's going to be. And we saw that in that Anaheim game where he comes in, rolls in and scores a goal. And we saw him in the next game where he walks the line on a power play. And to me, that's the crucial point with Drysdale. You got to be able to run a power play. We had Goss to spare here, Ghost. And Ghost was about the same thing. I mean, not great defensively, but boy, could he, you know, really help on a power play. And, you know, you gotta hope that Drysdale's all that and then more. I think what we see here is a guy that, it's funny, after he had that game, you know, they can say all they want that it's just a game or whatever. But you could tell that he was cranked up for that game, played better, and so was the team. And then he followed it up the next game because it was almost like he proved it to himself in addition to the crowd. When you have a crowd like that behind you, you can't help but hear. You interviewed him. When's the last time you got a smile like that out of Drysdale? He's one of those quiet guys, right? And it was like, yeah, that really helped. I mean, if you don't think that stuff helps, you're just not human. Unless you're the coldest of cold human beings, that really does affect you. So I'm really thrilled that he did it. And I think I'm really confident that really boosted him a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what we have from him in the future. Because that game against Anaheim, that was so big for him. You know, everybody's watching him and the whole team wanted him. It went crazy when he scored. Mm-hmm. And then for Torts to come out afterwards and basically say, oh, it was just the media thing. That's malarkey. I mean, Torts is lying. That was a big game. That was a huge game. And you can see they followed it up. And it was a big game for the team, big game for the front office, and even a bigger game for Drysdale. And I like the way he played after that game. And you see him on a power play. And he's been, you know, he had a bad giveaway. But you have to live with that. Scott and I are always yelling, I want Sanheim on the power play more. Now it appears he's on the second power play. But if you're thinking about it in terms of a front office, like we're looking at it like, I want to win this game right now. And it's like, put Sanheim on the power play. But if you're looking at it in terms of developing your team, Drysdale has to be the guy that runs the power play. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jamie's not better. Yeah. So, you gotta live with it and live with some of the mistakes. But like we saw the last couple of games, he really has really kicked it up a notch in terms of running a power play.
He really has. And I think that's the perfect analogy for just where this team is right now. We see things, we're like, why is this happening? Why is it run this way? Why is this certain player on the ice when the other one isn't? And it's always that battle of developing with winning the game right now. And I think that frustrates fans because I think fans have felt like they've been developing for 3 years. At one point, do you flip the switch? It's clear they're not quite there yet. They're not ready to flip that switch.
Yeah, although we had Dan Hilferty on pregame a couple of games ago. Yeah. And it was curious that he was like, he's got the business side, obviously, more than the other two, the Dan band there, Breer and Jonesy. Mm-hmm. But you could tell there's a little bit of anxiousness right now to like, I think everybody wants to like, yeah, let's see if we can't like put it in another gear here. It's going to take great patience not to. And that's why Ashlyn, going in toward that trade deadline, this is going to be fascinating to see what happens. Because if you're really in a rebuild mode, you got guys you could get something for. But you're not going to accelerate anything by moving a guy like Ristolainen or Lawton or some of Faraby, who, it's another whole story on what's going on with him. But what are you going to do? How are you going to approach this? Are you going to make a move that maybe accelerates something, or are you going to make a move and go get more draft picks?
Yeah, the Faraby situation is definitely worth touching on because he had never been a healthy scratch in his career, and he's been a healthy scratch now for three straight games. Like Sell, we saw make a pretty costly mistake in the loss to Columbus, and you made the comment, Faraby's back in. But I think, one, Torts couldn't put him back in with the way this team was playing. Two, he wanted to get Sell playing time, so you make the argument, okay, who else are you going to take out then? What's the argument for someone else to lose ice time? But I am curious. I think Faraby would go in next game, but no guarantee.
No, I would think so. I mean, he skated in the warm-ups, and we kind of knew that he wasn't going to play. I I actually felt kind of bad for him because that those games were so energetic, and especially the Gauthier game, because Farabee's been a big part of this rebuild. You know, he's been a good soldier with them, plays hard, play always available. But he had his game definitely couldn't find his hands. So, I mean, you get, you know, and then, you know, you got a situation where you win games with 5 out of 6 points. It's tough, especially after the game against Anaheim, then against Florida, to make a change. But I would tend to think that Torts would be anxious to get him back in to see if it worked. Because when you pipe a guy like that, you're hoping that he then plays better. Can't play better if you're not playing. It's the first part of playing better. It's playing. So I would think that he would want to get him there, because you got to think when he comes back in, you want to talk about motivated. This is a guy I never missed. And missed those hugely entertaining and energetic games. And I would think that, you know, this would be a good time to get him back in. I think he would provide a real jolt of energy right now.
Agreed. And I think most likely he'll come back in next game. But one guy who is certainly not coming out of any lineups anytime soon is Noah Cates. He has by far been the most improved Flyer on this team, to the point where he was not even on the ice for the opening day game. He watched the game from the press box, and now you can't take your eyes off this guy. He's involved in every single situation. The coaching staff is trusting him with everything, and rightfully so.
Yeah, he's an amazing story when you look at it. As you said, from, you know, eating popcorn in the press box to, you know, being the guy you're eating popcorn watching because he's been such a good player. I mean, and plays I didn't even think he had. I mean, I just didn't think he had hands like that. He made a move in Columbus, a spinorama from in close, and then, you know, get an opportunity on the goal and set up a rebound. These are real skilled plays by a guy that I think most people, myself included, had said, okay, maybe a third line centerman, maybe that. And now it's like they're dependent on him. I mean, that first line now with him and Forster and Brink, man, they're like, you know, Noah Cates, it's Noah's Ark. He's just bringing everybody with him. They're flying, and they're the most important line right now. And it's a strange situation because it could have been really upsetting. I mean, you got a guy like Couturier, where's his ice time going? Well, it's going to Cates. He's taking people's ice time. But when you're winning, that's okay. It's you know, everybody said, what are you going to, you know, you're winning. That's what this is all about. We'll see how teams adjust to him, what they do now in terms of preparation. Like, instead of looking at, okay, we're going to play this line against that, it's like, okay, this is for real now. We're going to our best offensive matchup is going to be right here against this line. So we'll see what happens in the faceoff dot. We'll see what happens in the offensive zone. So right now, though, man, he doesn't look like there's many guys that he can't maneuver around. Against the elite, this is now the next step for me. But I want to see what happens with when the opposition then on their whiteboard, instead of where it said Couturier in the past or whomever, or Connect, it says Cates. Now we'll see what happens.
We will. And definitely a guy that they have been relying on big time, and he's earned this opportunity. He's come a long way this season. And I think by the end of this road trip, and truthfully, in my opinion, I think it's settled already, is this goaltending situation. It's been a roller coaster, is a kind way to put it. Sam Anderson back healthy. That's great news. Kolosov was the backup as of 3 weeks ago. Torts confirmed it and said he is the backup. We thought it would stick the whole year. It did not. Ivan Fedotov comes in, plays excellent against Columbus, and should be the backup, in my opinion. And we should no longer have discussions, but we will, because it's the Flyers and goaltending.
Well, we will until somebody's not here. I mean, because
it's crazy.
You know, twice now they've announced who's the backup goaltender, and, you know, 10 days later, it's like, never mind. So we'll see if this is for real, if this sticks. I tend to be on your side on this, have the same opinion, because Fedotov really has looked okay. And it's funny, he's a big goalie, and the last game he was diving around like he was 5'10 instead of 6'7. And he was just battling. And I think that's what earns you a lot, especially from your teammates, the battle that he had. And I would think that that's what's going to happen. I'm not convinced until there's only two making a trip or whatever. I'm not convinced. Now, some of this might have been Airson's injury to see if he, you know, was absolutely back from it. Now he certainly does. I mean, he had the Swedish, the coach for the Four Nations team taking a look at him in a previous game. So I think he's back from that injury, and I don't think he's got any worries about that anymore. So I got to think coming up pretty soon is, instead of just words, that we've got our backup goaltender, whatever, I think maybe they make that move that makes it for real that Fedotov is going to be their backup guy the rest of the season.
It seems to be, but we can never be so certain. As you said, three goaltenders still on the roster. So who's to say, but I do think we're going to see Sam Harrison the rest of this week in these games. And I'm Fedotov doing a great job in a back-to-back situation, but we look at the rest of the week and the Flyers, insane week, four games this week. The next one up against the Islanders and the Devils as well on Saturday. Both teams that are ascending, that are going to be tough matchups.
Yeah, they're all tougher. I mean, you look at it, this tournament that's coming up has squished everything together, four games in a week. At least the back-to-back, they had their back-to-back, so now there's at least a day of rest. But having said that, you don't get much practice in that situation. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, the Islanders playing better, obviously. The Devils playing like they could win like were supposed to be last year. They finally got a goaltender. Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be tough. The Rangers have perked up back to life. It's that's why at the beginning of this, I said, I don't know about the trying to make the playoffs, man. It's when you're talking about, you know, the teams that have to get in are the Rangers and the Bruins. I'm like, man, that's the teams you're contending with right now to get the final couple of spots. It's like, mm-hmm. even at this date, only halfway through, just barely over halfway through the season, it's going to be tough. So this is, if you're going to make a move, they haven't been able to, like even Detroit and Montreal, they, you know, seven games in a row or something. So this is three with, you know, gaining points. But if you really want to make that push, you're going to have to hit almost double digits in terms of that. So we'll see if the Flyers have that in them.
Yes, we will see. As of right now, a three-game point streak for the Flyers. We'll see if it continues this week. And that is South Philly Sauce, an Odyssey original, brought to you by 94 WIP and Jack Daniels. For Al and Ashley, we will see you later on this week.